I'm Brandon Knight, and this is My Seminary Life. Well, here we are again, everybody. Another exciting episode of My Seminary Life. If you're new to the show, welcome. I'm Brandon. I'm a seminary student working on my Master's of Arts in Christian Ministry Studies. And on this show, I recap the things that I am currently studying. Right now, I'm in Theology Seminar 1, and this week, we are finally done with talking about the divinity and the humanity of Jesus, which is nice because we've kind of been on this for like 3 weeks now. And today, we are going to start a conversation on the Holy Spirit. This week we have the Holy Spirit. Next week we have angelology, talking about angels. And then the last week of this class, we're going to be talking about demons. Going to be an interesting topic. I'm actually really excited for that one. But this week we have the Holy Spirit. Specifically, what's the deal with the gifts of the Holy Spirit? And yes, you're supposed to read the title in your best Jerry Seinfeld voice. What's the deal? Anyway, so, but before we get into the content of today's episode, I just want to make a quick update for Systematic Geekology. October 7th is the day. October 7th is when the new series, Systematic Geekology, drops. There is a trailer and a bonus crossover episode that they did with the Whole Church podcast that's up and available to listen to now. You can find the website systematicgeekology.org, I believe is the website. There's a merch store, there's a Patreon, there's a list of bio, there's a bio list of all the hosts, including myself, with a link to this show. So go check it out. Consider supporting the Patreon. And by the way, do you know how hard it is to get on the Whole Church podcast? The fact that they were able to pull that off, to get Systematic Geekology and the Whole Church together on one show, that was actually really simple because they created both shows. So yeah, be looking for that. October 7th is when the first episode of the show comes out. It'll be great. So, the Holy Spirit. Now, back on the episode on the Trinity, we talked about the Holy Spirit briefly on there. So, by way of recap, let's go over some important information. I know that reading things straight off of a Word document onto a podcast is not really the most entertaining thing in the world for you listeners, but I will try to read it in my best voice to keep everybody engaged. So, the Holy Spirit is a very member of the Trinity, and he is a very important person in our life as well. I would say there's a number of passages in the scriptures that help us understand who the Trinity is, what he does, but I personally think that John 14, the second half of John 14, is one of the best places you can go to get a rundown of who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus explains that the Holy Spirit is sent from the Father in Jesus' name to his followers as a helper, a person who indwells us, a communicator and reminder of truth, who will bring us peace and indwell us forever. That's all unpacked right there in John 14, 15 to 31. So we get a lot of ideas of who the Holy Spirit is and his important role in our lives as well. According to John 3, 1 through 7, this is the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. And in this conversation, Jesus explains to Nicodemus that unless you are born by water and spirit, you will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. So, yes, the Holy Spirit indwells us as believers, but the Holy Spirit also is pivotal in our rebirth as well, in our new birth as Christians. He is present working in our lives to get us to that point as well. So he's there at the beginning to indwell us. He's there prior to the beginning to get us into the kingdom of God. And according to Galatians 5, 16 to 26, the Holy Spirit equips us to live a life that is glorifying to God. This section is where Paul is writing to the church in Galatia to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And he unpacks the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh, the ways of the wicked. And so the Holy Spirit is involved in all of the process of our spiritual life, from birth to before birth to leading us through this life, through sanctification. You can hear more about that in the My Theology of Sanctification episode here on the podcast. So the Holy Spirit is a very significant person in the Trinity and in our life. One other way that the Spirit enables followers of Christ is by handing out gifts. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are four main passages in Scripture that deal with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is that there's a little bit of overlap, but each list is a little bit different. And the focus on each list is different as well. So let's run these down and unpack these different gifts of the Holy Spirit. So first off, we have 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11. And here, Peter is kind of summarizing everything into two broad categories, okay? Peter has got it down to those who are gifted to speak the oracles of God and those who are gifted to serve physically. Two big gifts. You can kind of look at it as we move forward as two big categories. There's going to be more gifts that align more with this speaking aspect to it, and there's going to be more gifts aligned with the serving aspect of it. And isn't it interesting that in the book of Acts and in other places where Paul is writing to, like, Timothy, that as we look at the roles of the elders and deacons in the church, that's kind of how it works out as well, that the elders are primarily focused on speaking the oracles of God, and the deacons are primarily focused on physically serving the body of Christ. Isn't it interesting that God has this all thought out, like maybe that he knows what he's doing on this? Peter also writes in this section that when you receive a gift, you are to use it to serve others. That is Peter's big marching order, that if you are given a gift, if you have a gift from the Holy Spirit, you need to be using it to serve each other. Okay. Now we hop over to Ephesians 4, verses 7 through 12. Paul associates these gifts with the grace given to us through Jesus, whom the Spirit has given to us in his name. Now these gifts include, ready for this? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. So those are all roles, those are all positions held by different people in the church in the speaking the oracles of God category. You have the apostles, which were the 11 disciples and Paul. You have prophets who were all up and down the Old and New Testament alike. You have shepherds and evangelists and teachers who all have different functioning roles within the church of proclaiming the gospel, leading the flock, teaching people in general. These gifts with the gifts that we have, I'm sorry, I got lost. Okay, so Paul writes that, so like how Peter says that you're supposed to be using your gifts to serve each other, Paul writes that the focus here is on equipping each other and getting each other ready for ministry. So Peter wants you to use your gift because it's a gift given to you and you should use it to serve others. Paul, speaking to these people who are given the gifts for speaking ministries, you need to be using this gift to equip and train the church. Make sense? Therefore, Peter summarizes the gifts into two big categories, those who proclaim and those who physically labor. Paul breaks down the speaking category into five specific roles that someone could have. All right. Now, Romans 12, 6 through 8 overlaps and expands the previous list. Paul first states that because of the grace given to us, the gifts we receive differ between each person. So in other words, there's no guarantee that everyone is going to get the same gift because we all receive a different level of grace in the process. This list of gifts includes prophecy, got it, service, okay, kind of in the other category, teaching, got it, exhortation, open-handed with generosity, leadership, and merciful. So in this list, one speaking gift, exhortation, is added to the other category, and we actually have three specific gifts that are more in line with the physically serving category, with leadership, open-handedness, and merciful. And let's just, I find these three quite interesting, because really all Christians should be striving at least in the category of generosity. All Christians should be showing, being generous to those around them financially, with their time, whatever it may be. And merciful is a good one as well that all Christians should be modeling in their lives. And leadership is one of those roles that, like, it's kind of one of those, what do they call that? Social sciences? It's one of those popular, trendy things that everyone wants to be an expert in, and so therefore everybody is an expert in leadership. Like, I went through that phase. I've got 3-4 different books on leadership somewhere on my bookshelf. I can't find them right now. I'm rearranging my bookshelves, so I can't find them right now. The Leadership Secrets of Billy Graham, Spiritual Leadership. There's two other ones over there somewhere. That is something that people want to be a good leader. And there are people specifically gifted by the Holy Spirit with the measure of grace that he gives them from Jesus, that they are naturally gifted to be leaders. There are people, and I actually know people, who are gifted by the Holy Spirit in generosity. And isn't it interesting? I thought of this. It was this week that this finally clicked with me. Mercy is a spiritual gift, not a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are these attributes of Christ-likeness that all believers should have in their lives, and the Holy Spirit will work those out. But mercy, which again, I think being merciful is something that everyone should be able to do at some point, but there are people who are specifically equipped by the Holy Spirit to be merciful. Isn't that interesting? And can I have more people like that in my life? Please and thank you. Paul also makes clear in this section that these gifts are for an intended purpose, and so they need to be used. So, do you see an overarching theme here? Peter says, hey, use your gift to minister to each other. It is a gift, after all. Paul to the church in Ephesus, hey, use your gift. It is a gift, after all. Paul to the church in Rome, hey, use your gift. It is a gift, after all. Okay, now finally, I've saved the big one for last. I'm sure you've been waiting for this. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 4 through 11. Paul writes that there is a variety of gifts and ways to serve, which is true from the list so far. And actually, I think it was in our lecture notes from our professor. He would even argue that it is possible that there are even more gifts from the Holy Spirit that aren't recorded in Scripture, that this may not be a complete list, which I can't remember if it's in the episode on C.S. Lewis's poetry that I did, or if it's in the episode where I talk about wrapping up spiritual formation, but I know I brought this up one other time, talking about in the book of Exodus, when they're building the tabernacle, and God is speaking to Moses and to the people that he has put his spirit upon certain individuals with the spirit of creativity to build this beautiful looking tabernacle tent that they're going to carry around. So like, even creativity, you can make the argument, is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Again, kind of in those lines of like merciful leadership, generosity, like something that people can definitely build and learn in their own life, but that there are specific believers in Jesus who are naturally gifted by the Holy Spirit, well, maybe not naturally gifted, who are received by grace a gift from the Holy Spirit to do things creatively. Again, it's early in the morning as I'm recording this. My wife and I are going on a road trip here in a bit, and I needed to get this done before we left. Anyway, so Paul is saying that there's a variety of gifts and a variety of ways to serve. These gifts are given by one Spirit and empowered by Him. And actually, during our forum post discussions this week, our forum post discussions were focusing specifically on speaking in tongues. And judging by the time and my engagements later today, I might do a bonus episode talking about speaking in tongues, because that was the other big homework assignment this week, was writing up a little bit of a theology on those. And if you would like to hear that, make some noise. Let me know. I might still do it just for fun anyway, but if you want to hear me talk about speaking in tongues, please let me know. Anyway, so Paul writes that these gifts are empowered and given out by the Holy Spirit. And during our forum discussion this week, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, somebody brought up in Acts 2, the apostles weren't trying to make the gift appear. They weren't trying to conjure up speaking in tongues. They were waiting on the Lord. They were being faithful in their waiting. And the Holy Spirit gifted them. Like, they weren't trying to make it happen. It just happens that they were given this gift for this specific ministry moment, which I thought was really interesting and something I completely forgot when I was writing my view of the speaking in tongues, that in Acts 2, again, the Spirit poured out this gift on the believers who weren't trying. Their focus wasn't on the gift. Their focus was on serving Jesus and waiting upon Him and His directions. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul lists gifts here. And here we go, ready? Uttering wisdom, uttering knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles, prophecy, got it. The ability to distinguish between spirits, the interpretation of tongues, and of course, speaking in tongues. This section ends with Paul writing that the Spirit gives these gifts individually as He wills. So again, not everyone is given the same gift. No one person has the full artillery of gifts. You may have more than one gift. I definitely think I fall more into the speaking category with like shepherding, teaching, evangelists, those type of giftings. I think I might have a gift for creativity as well. Not very good, but I think it might be there. But the Spirit gives those out as He wills by a measure of grace as well. So let's run these gifts back down. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to and empowered by the Holy Spirit and are intended to be used by us for the building, equipping, and ministering of the church. They can be categorized into two groups, gifts related to speaking the oracles of God and gifts related to physically serving the body. In the speaking category, the gifts include apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd,
teacher, exhortation, uttering wisdom, uttering knowledge, interpretation of tongues, and speaking in tongues. The gifts of service include generosity, leadership, mercy, healing, working miracles, and the ability to distinguish between spirits. And by the way, I did some research, and it seems to be that this ability to distinguish between spirits is the ability to determine when someone is speaking or performing some form of a miracle. That person who is gifted with the distinguishing between spirits will be able to tell you if the person doing the other thing is doing it in the power of Jesus, in the Holy Spirit, or in the power of demons, which is quite terrifying to think about. And I wish more people had this gift, because it can make things a lot more simpler now as we're sorting through people using gifts for their own personal gain. And that's where I kind of want to start landing the plane at in this conversation. Don't use your spiritual gift to make you rich and famous. Do not leverage your religion for your own personal gain. Stop it. Stop it. I'm not saying that if you have a gift that, you know, if you have a gift of creativity and you can write great music that you shouldn't make money off of it. Not that. I'm talking about prosperity gospel people who are using their gifts, and I guess that might need to be air quoted, but using their gifts to make lots of money and buy airplanes. Okay? That's not what the gifts are for. The gifts are clearly taught in Scripture that they are intended for ministry. They are intended to build up the body of Christ. They are intended to serve people outside of the church, even to bring them into the flock. Look again in Acts chapter 2. Again, I talk more about this in the Speaking in Tongues paper. Acts chapter 2. That was a moment where thousands of people came to know Christ as Savior because of a gifting, because of the use of a gift. So, stop using your gift for your own personal gain and your own attention. That's not how this works. This isn't about you. None of these passages make a distinction between Jew or Gentile. These are just some of my closing observations. Man or woman, and they do not explain or say if or when a gift is no longer given to us. Okay? So, what do we do with that? Here's the thing. Paul isn't writing to us. Peter's not writing to us. He is writing during a time, they are writing during a time when these gifts are being used. They are writing during a time where people were speaking in tongues and uttering wisdom and discerning between spirits and all these other things. There were apostles still alive. But there is no distinction given between Jew and Gentile, and there's no distinction given between man and woman. And I'm not saying that I believe in women pastors or anything like that, but it is interesting that if there's no distinction, then can women be gifted to teach and to shepherd if there is no distinction given? And this is where the conversation gets really complicated, and I began to realize that this paper and also this podcast episode could keep going for quite some time, because then you could branch out to Mark chapter 16, verses 14 to 20, where Jesus is speaking specifically to his disciples who become apostles, and he's talking about the various sign gifts that they will be able to do, which also include being able to pick up snakes and not being, you know, killed by them, which does happen to Paul. And from that passage, people usually make the conclusion, aha, so once the apostles die, the office of the apostle is over, and so therefore also so are these sign gifts, which include speaking in tongues. We cannot receive this gift anymore.
And as for the thing I just brought up about can women be gifted to teach and to shepherd, well, then you have to go to, you know, let's talk about the qualifications of an elder and a deacon, and let's look at the examples of elders and deacons in the New Testament, and then the conversation goes that way of like, oh, well, we have examples of women deaconesses, but we don't have examples of women elders. So it just gets more and more complicated. And again, much like last week on the entire episode of Kenosis Theory, this is when I stop being a good theologian. I'm a bad theologian. I told my wife this week that I'm thinking about already renaming the podcast to The Bad Theologian Show or something like that, because at some point I stop caring. Because that's not the point of these passages of scripture. The point in these passages of scripture isn't to make us scratch our heads and go, huh, well, can we still use these? Which ones do the women get? Like, the point of these passages, I would almost even say, aren't on the gifts themselves. Like, obviously, Paul and Peter want to make sure people are aware what these gifts are. It apparently is important to God that we know what gifts are out there. But the point seems to be over and over again, you don't deserve this gift. It's a gift by grace given to us. And use the gift and use it to minister. And don't try to think that you have all of the gifts. Like, the attention on these passages aren't on you and the gift. The focus is on the grace given to us by the Holy Spirit and the opportunity to then use that gift to serve others. We just are the vessel using the gift. And that's where I land on this. Like, do I think that these different gifts have ended? The only one that I'm confident in that I would say that, yeah, this one is probably over, is actually prophecy. I think you can make an argument for the office of the apostle. I do think that tradition is over, that it was intended for the 11 disciples and Paul to be apostles, and that's it. But the office of a prophet, based off of, I think it's Revelation 22, 18, and 19, talking about how the canon of scripture is closed, then I don't really see why we would need prophets currently at this time. That, not to say that, like, when someone's like, oh, hey, the Lord put a passage of scripture on my heart that I want to share with you, I don't think that's necessarily prophecy. I think that's more so just like the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, and we should definitely like embrace those times to happen. But I'm a little bit more on the side of like, I think the office of a prophet is over. But as for the rest of these, this seriously, the gifts of the Spirit fall under, for me, the same category as sovereignty and free will. Like, there seems to be a little bit of both in scripture, and I don't understand how it works. So I'm going to live with the tension. And as for the gifts, like, yeah, there are plenty of people out there using and abusing and idolizing these different gifts, especially speaking in tongues. But I think sometimes we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater to discredit those people who use those types of giftings for their own gain. And so I'm just going to sit back and say, maybe we still have these gifts. I don't know. I'm not you. I kind of know the gifts that I have, but honestly, I think every Christian at some point has had, someone has made them take that quiz that tries to help you figure out what spiritual gift you have. It's kind of like the introduction to personality quizzes. And like, I don't know. I think it's changed. I would even be willing to say that it might even change. Like, the Holy Spirit knows what we need in any given situation. So who knows? He might be able to equip us for a very specific purpose in a very specific moment, and then we might not have that gift anymore. I don't know. It's a gift. Can you take back gifts? Can the Holy Spirit take back gifts? I don't know. Anyway, ultimately, the focus in these passages is that all believers are given gifts by the Spirit and are not called to use these gifts for the sake of are called to use these gifts for the sake of the body and not for their own personal gain. Someone else in another forum post Their conclusion I really enjoyed. Again, our forum posts were on specifically speaking in tongues. And they presented the usual information about speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, Acts 2, blah, blah, blah. But they ended their forum posts talking about the tongue. I'm pointing at my tongue like you're going to see it. The tongue in general. Talking about James, that the tongue is a raging fire. Talking about the different places like in Revelation or in the Psalms or in Philippians where the tongue is shown proclaiming the greatness of God, and like how whether you have the gift of speaking in tongues or not, like ultimately the focus isn't on the gift. It's the focus is on how we use our tongues. Like, let's not lose that. Let's not lose that in the discussion of speaking in tongues, and let's not lose that as we are discussing the gifts in general. How are you using your gift? If you are aware of how the Holy Spirit has gifted you with the measure of grace, then go out and use that gift, please. And don't idolize other people and be jealous of other people who have a different gifting. You have a gift. It's a gift. Be thankful for it. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, then please take a moment to rate and review the show on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on right now, or head on over to the My Seminary Life Facebook page where you can write a recommendation on there as well. You can also follow us on Instagram at My Seminary Life Pod for other fun updates throughout the week. And more than the recommendation, I would really appreciate it if you told someone you knew about the show. Word of mouth is the best way to advertise for this show. And finally, you can follow me, Brandon Knight, on Instagram and TikTok at just.brandon.k for other fun faith-based content. So that's it for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Brandon Knight. Keep on studying.